And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure...
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
Everybody, this is the Fred Jeff Show. This is Fred Ross, and I'm here with my little brother Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
You know, something we forgot to mention last show on the 3rd, this is a major birthday month for some people in this room.
It is. You're absolutely right. Your son, McCoy.
McCoy is going to be 15 this year.
15, wow.
Yeah, but he's not here in this room.
No, he's not. And welcome to the Fred Jeff Show.
Yes, hello, everybody.
The show where we love to talk about the people, places, things, events, history that make Tucson and Southern Arizona a fabulous place to hang out.
Including the culture.
In the culture. And the culture.
And if you want to hear more of this, of these shenanigans, go to fredandjeff.com. And you can listen to old shows. You can listen to this show probably later this afternoon.
Yeah, and Fred, aren't we going to try to start podcasting on iTunes again?
There's some technical issues that we're working through right now.
Because I know Don Coleman calls me all the time. He goes, I can't get your show on iTunes. What's going on?
Well, tell him to download it off the interwebs.
I tell him that every time, but he doesn't like that answer.
Oh. Well, speaking of Don Coleman, listen very closely to this show, because any random thing we say could be turned into a trivia question.
Oh, I already know what the trivia question is this week.
What is that?
Is when... were the Knights of Columbus founded? What year? Because that year that the Knights of Columbus were founded, something else very important to you and I happened. That same year.
Important to you and me?
Yep. And that same year, our great-great-grandfather crossed the border and dropped old Fred Ronstadt on his keister right here in Tucson to be a blacksmith apprentice. That same year the Knights were founded, that's what happened that year as well.
Wow.
So listen up close, folks, because if you hear the answer, just email Fred at fredandjeff.com.
And you will get a dozen roses from our friend Don Coleman.
Well, the whole Coleman family,
but
got to give Greg and Mr. Coleman, Mr. and Mrs. Coleman some.
Yeah, but
love.
You know, you had mentioned Don earlier, so that's what sort of tripped off this little conversation.
That's right. So, what good things are happening this week?
Man, you know, the Padres are just burning it up.
They weren't burning it up. They were getting killed there for a while, but
no,
they're
always burning it up.
Okay, they're always burning it up.
Remember back in the day, you told me you went to a sales deal, and the person told you the walk away from that thing was. Whenever anybody asks you how business is, you always say, it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Because it could either be unbelievably bad or unbelievably good.
But it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. But the Padres are just burning it up.
But that's not unbelievable. That's burning it up.
Yeah. Well,
I got to tell you, because I've gone to a couple, going to a Padres game is a great time.
It's phenomenal.
Great time. Whether the Padres are winning or they're losing, it's a great time. And unfortunately, the Padres have been getting a little shellacked lately, but they're turning it around.
Yeah, they are. And you still get to see the future baseball stars.
That's right.
And you get to see some of the older guys, you know, milling around. And it's
like you.
Yeah, like me. But it is a great time, and it's a fabulous time. So go ahead and see the Padres over at the Keno Sports Complex.
Right.
Now, here's some fun
stuff. And congratulations to the Bat Cats.
Oh, man. Those guys are burning it up.
Yeah, they had a great year. Great year for the Cats. We're very excited about the U of A baseball program.
And they're playing down at the old High Corbett Field.
That's right. So good baseball time right now.
It is a great baseball time. Now, there's a couple just fun things going on in the area. There's a garlic and onion festival at Agua Linda Farm. And don't ask me where that is, Jeff. But you need to go there today because it ends today.
Well, how are people supposed to get there if you can't tell where it is?
It's in Armado, Arizona. If you want the address, you can Google it. 2643 East Fontage Road in Armado, Arizona. There's also the Brass Tacks and Smokestacks Model Railroad exhibit, and that's going on off of Camp Lowell, and that's going on through June 17th. Obviously, we talked about the Padres. The Children's Museum has got a whole bunch of stuff going on.
Oh, yeah. We took the kids down there last week when school got out.
Yeah, the Science
Yikes.
Sundays.
They loved it.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
They're going on through February 2nd.
Yeah, if you haven't been to the Children's Museum of Tucson, And you know, if you haven't been there in the last year or two, you got to go because it is so different. It's so wonderful.
And they just opened that big brand new exhibit too.
That's right.
So
it's great.
Go down there. The last thing we'll talk about, and then we'll direct you to a great resource, but it's the 8th annual Father's Day Weekend Golf Classic. That's going on the 16th, which I believe is the Saturday before Father's Day.
Right.
So check that out. And I believe, let's see, they're supporting, that's a fundraiser for Tucson Children's Museum.
That's right.
Or the Children's Museum of Tucson.
That is correct.
And if you want to see what's going on in Tucson and Southern Arizona, go to visittucson.org. And that's the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau website. And there's an event calendar. Go to fredandjeff.com and check on the upcoming events tab. And there's one last thing, and I haven't seen the last email, but the queen of the evening is still coming. We're waiting for the night blooming cirruses
at Tohono O'Chul.
At Tohono O'Chul.
You know what? Dad just took the picture of the night blooming cirruses at his house. They are spectacular.
Yeah, and
we should see if he'll let us post a couple of those pictures on the website.
Yeah, they're being a little flaky this year because a couple are opening here and there, and it's kind of weird, but we're still waiting for the big bloom.
Yeah, they're gorgeous.
Over at Tohono O'Chul.
Just gorgeous. So, folks, stick around. We got a great show for you today, a lot of fun people to talk to, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Why are we proud to live in Tucson?
Because our tapestry of heritage and culture attracts interest from around the world.
While our vibrant community of artists lifts our spirits and sparks our imagination.
Because downtown Tucson is coming to life.
Because you can dress down for the rodeo in the morning and dress up for the theater at night.
Because an army of entrepreneurs and small business owners help fuel our economy.
This is my Tucson, and together we thrive. Burger.
A simple, well-made burger, cooked to your choice.
Why Monkey Burger?
We called it that because come see our art on the walls. It tells a story. Monkey Burger, where it's impossible to be a food snob, even if they do serve wine, beer, as well as Tucson's best burger. 514-9797.
Just drive right past Olive Garden on Broadway and Craycroft and park in front of Monkey Burger.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A House of Light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout Southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
Time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And we're back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're just living in the old Pueblo.
That's exactly right, Fred.
And we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We have with us Margie Puerta Edson from the Catholic Foundation. Margie, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
And did I manage to butcher your name pretty good?
You did a great job with my names. Thank you.
Yay, Jeff, see here? See, Jeff, every once in a while I get it.
Gosh, he's always fishing for compliments, this guy.
Well, he does good things and he can get a compliment.
Well, when I get beat up every minute by my little brother, it's like I gotta find it somewhere.
You up today because you were 40 minutes late. That's all.
Well, how can I be 40 minutes late? We're live right here on the air.
I know, but we were all here at 10 o'clock waiting for you. So, Margie, where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Tempe. I'm a native Arizonan.
Oh, gee. Okay.
Yes.
Tempe.
Grew up in Tempe.
Do I want to know where you went to school?
No, you do not.
Thanks for moving to Tucson. Thanks for seeing the lights.
Yes, I am married to a Wildcat.
I noticed you're wearing more red than yellow
today. Yes, I am. I am married to a Wildcat, and I worked for the university for many, many years, from 1990 to 2002. So I was at the University of Arizona for much longer than I was at that other institution
good,
down the road.
Good,
so,
good.
Yeah.
So what were you doing at the U of A?
Same thing, technically, that I'm doing now, fundraising for the U of A.
You were at the foundation, the U of A yes, Foundation?
Yes, working for the College of Agriculture and later for the College of Nursing.
That's wow. very cool.
Two fun departments over there.
Absolutely. Two generous departments, very generous. And both enabled me to learn a lot about the state, things that I didn't know. And obviously, being a land-grant university, being at the College of Agriculture was a great introduction to all of the counties and all of the diversity of the state, which actually serves me very well in my current position with the Catholic Foundation. Because as you probably know, the Catholic Foundation serves the Diocese of Tucson, and the Diocese of Tucson stretches from Parker and Yuma on the west side over to Bisbee and Douglas on the east side and all the way up to Payson.
So it's not just Pima County?
Not by a long shot.
So it's Pima, Cochise, Santa Cruz, Graham, Greenlee, Yuma County?
Yes.
Yuma County, Pinal?
Yes.
Wow, so it's a huge diocese.
Right. Right,
huge diocese.
La Paz County.
La Paz?
Right. And so we sort of make a circle around Maricopa County, if you can sort of imagine the state without Maricopa County.
I imagine that all the time.
then you'd just be in the Diocese of Tucson.
Well, that's a good place to be then, I take it.
Yes.
So now, what does the Diocese of Tucson do? What do you guys, what's your goal?
Well, the diocese goal is to serve the mission of Christ.
Right.
And to serve our bishop. The foundation's role...
Well, and I apologize.
Oh, sorry.
The only reason I'm asking that is because we shouldn't assume that all of our listeners are Catholic.
Oh, obviously, yes.
Right. So the Diocese of Tucson is the administration of the church here?
Yes.
The Catholic Church here in Tucson?
Exactly.
Or in all the counties except for Maricopa?
Right, within the Diocese of Tucson.
Okay. And you work for the foundation,
mm-hmm.
and what does the foundation do for the diocese?
The Catholic Foundation for the Diocese of Tucson supports... financially, the work of the diocese. So we do all of the financial fundraising and stewardship for all of the ministries, the schools, the parishes, the diocesan level ministries, things that have to do with formation, education of our priests, just social service activities through Catholic Community Services, through St. Elizabeth of Hungary, just a wide range of different entities within the diocese that are part of the diocese and that we provide financial support for.
Okay. You mentioned Catholic Community Services. What's that?
Catholic Community Services is the social service arm of the diocese, and it provides health care, dental care, social services to everyone, regardless of whether or not they're Catholic, regardless of their race, ethnic origin. All of those services are provided through that organization and through their branches throughout southern Arizona and actually into New Mexico. So they have a very broad spectrum of services, domestic violence, and also adoption services. There's some really great things that they do that serve the mission with us. And so we work very closely with Catholic Community Services for those types of ministries.
Now, is that the stewardship part of what you support?
Well, stewardship is kind of a bigger concept.
Okay.
Stewardship is the idea that everything that we have is a gift from God and that we are to use as good stewards all of these gifts for the benefit of others, to basically to love one another in however that works its way. So through Catholic Community Services, we love our brothers and sisters. Through our parishes, we love our brothers and sisters. We take care of one another. We look out for one another. And that is how we live our lives, if you will. The ministry of everyday life is what's at the heart of stewardship.
And you guys have built that into your mission now.
Right.
You've actually changed the name of the foundation, right?
We did. We were singly just the Catholic Foundation for the Diocese of Tucson, and now we're the Catholic Foundation for the Diocese of Tucson Stewardship and Charitable Giving. So we put the stewardship emphasis first and said that that's what that conversion of heart, if you will, that idea of taking care of all that God has created, comes first. And from that flows the charitable giving, whether it's giving on an annual basis or through a legacy gift. All of that type of giving starts with that heart of stewardship. So we put that first and primary in our name.
I like that. That's great. So you guys raise a bunch of money every year, and you're basically taking the money that you raise, and it could be from anybody. It's not just Catholics. It's anyone that wants to promote your programs, and you're out there feeding the hungry and clothing those that don't have clothes, and you educate kids. You help with health care.
Right.
I mean, I guess the question I should ask you, Margie, is what don't you guys do? Because you seem to do a ton.
We do a lot, and we are very grateful because we do it through all of the donations that are made and through all of the people who participate. And that's quite a number of people who every year give whatever they can, whether it's a small amount that they give through their parish or they tithe to a planned gift, an estate gift. And we are very blessed by so many thousands of people who every year want to help in whatever way that they can help these programs continue. And we are obviously dependent upon them for their support. And every year they come through for us, and it is really gratifying. It makes your heart very warm knowing that everyone is so incredibly generous all the time, every year, and that they make amazing things happen.
Especially now.
Right, absolutely. Now, there's always a need out there, and right now, parishes in particular, they're seeing a lot of people coming to their doors needing help, needing direction, not just spiritual direction, financial direction, figuring out how to make it right now. And parishes are sort of the front line, and we support the parishes in their work in helping people. Whoever shows up on their doorstep that needs help, we receives help in some way or shape or form. And so it really is a beautiful thing to be able to know that so many people are being helped. And difficult times, there's always somebody who's doing a little bit less well and somebody who's doing a little bit better. And so if those who are doing a little bit better can help those that are doing less well, then things will work out and we'll take care of ourselves and brothers and sisters.
And you see that a lot.
Oh, absolutely. Every day. Every day we see lives that are transformed, people who wouldn't have received a simple thing like a healthcare screening that they were able to receive at St. Elizabeth and Seton Clinic that enables them to receive tests and then medical treatment, dental care. They have a dental clinic that serves the underprivileged and allows them to get dental care. And dental care actually affects your entire body.
It's interesting you say that. Yeah. Fred and I were talking about that a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. There was a study that was just done that said oral health is a great indicator of overall health.
Right.
And if you have great oral health, you're going to live a longer, happier life, healthier life. And if you let your teeth go bad, your whole body's going to follow.
Right.
So that's great that you guys can do that.
Right. So, you know, so on so many different levels for so many people, they're receiving all kinds of help. And that's great.
When were you guys founded?
1981.
Oh, you're a pretty new organization.
Well, the foundation is. The diocese has been around since, you know, the Padre Kino days, right? So the diocese has been around for centuries, but we've been, as of the Catholic Foundation, founded by a former bishop, Bishop Green, in 1981. And so we're relatively young, but we are a robust organization, and we've been working very hard through and had a lot of support from the Catholic community over the years to get us to this place.
Any idea how many people you serve a year? That's a good question.
That is a really good question, and I don't have a good answer for that, but it depends on how you want to count it, because if you start counting all of the Catholics through all of their parishes, and there are probably 300,000 Catholics in the
diocese?
In the diocese, estimated. That's the number that we use as a basic estimation of Catholics. So if they're out there going to their parish, if they're receiving services, as simple as receiving some communion You know, that priest wouldn't be there if the diocese hadn't educated that priest and sent them to seminary so that they could be there so that person can receive communion.
So the foundation is helping educate new priests to place in the diocese?
Absolutely.
And oh, I didn't know that.
Just had two graduate and become ordained this past weekend at the cathedral. Beautiful ceremony that was held for our two newest priests.
And these two priests are here from Tucson?
Yes. One's a homegrown guy and the other one is a foreign priest, but we paid for their education. We were, because they have, it takes a lot to actually create a priest. They don't sort of sprout up. I wish they did, because that would that would help the shortage, but
sure,
they don't. So they have a long amount of education that they, and formal process that they go through, that each diocese, or this diocese is not any different from any other diocese. Dioceses pay for their seminarians to be educated, and then the seminarians come back to that diocese to serve in that diocese. So it's a very direct, when people give to us, they're giving to their future priests and then making it possible for their current priests to have a good retirement. So the whole spectrum from beginning to end.
You know, you bring up a good point, because a relative of ours, Marty Ronstadt, mm-hmm, is real, real involved in helping priests have a quality retirement.
Right.
And I don't think a lot of folks out there know that priests don't make any money. So there's no retirement plan, and at the end of the day, those guys are living, you know, kind of hand to mouth in most cases.
Right. There was a time before people sort of came to this realization where priests would retire and be somewhat destitute, if you will. I mean, they really didn't have, because they didn't contribute to Social Security. There
right.
are a number of things that
no
that a lot of Medicare that a lot of us take for granted, right? That they're there for you and that you have a career and that you put money away. But priests don't think that way, and they don't do that. They don't have any money to do much of that with, and then they don't think about what's going to happen after they're no longer priests, because really their whole lives they're always priests,
sure,
you know. And so that
maybe a better way of saying that is, they don't think about what they're going to do when they stop working.
Right, exactly.
Because when they leave their parish, or when they just retire, you know,
mm-hmm,
they've put in their 30 or 40 or more
50,
years.
60 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do they get to do?
Right. And so they get to be at, you know, age 80 and older, having not planned for that moment in time like some of the rest of us would have. And so it became quite a concern. And so we, through a concerted effort, through the foundation, through the diocese, through the Knights of Columbus, which Marty's a part of, a number of fundraising activities have taken place over a period of time, and we've gotten to a place where basically an endowment for retired priests. We expect it to be fully funded within the next 3 years.
That's great.
And that will enable us to provide really a quality retirement for our priests, and with also with the investments, because it's an endowment account, so that what is distributed to the retired priests can grow with a little bit with the cost of living, because it had lagged behind. That sort of stipend that they were getting had lagged behind, so that priests really, they couldn't even afford a decent apartment.
Right.
And now they'll be able to you know, they'll still live modestly, you know. We're not talking the
Taj Mahal in Hawaii.
Right, no, we're talking
but
about
a nice living for the
right
end of their life.
And that they'll have health care, and that they'll have a quality place to live, and that they'll be taken care of in a positive way.
Now, you've talked a lot about these services. How can people access them?
Now, Fred, that's a great question. That's a great question. We have 30 seconds left before the end of the first half of the show.
Yeah.
So, Marjorie, can you come back on the second half? Because we want to ask that question, how people can help you out.
Sure.
Okay, so, folks, this is the Fred and Jeff Show. Thanks for listening, and we're going to take a quick commercial break here at the bottom of the hour news, pay some bills, and we'll be right back to finish our interview with Margie and introduce you to a couple more fellas, so stick around.
trial tomorrow in Bellefonte, Pennsylvania. Sandusky is the former Penn State University assistant football coach charged with sexually abusing 10 boys over a period of 15 years. Eight of those alleged victims are prepared to testify. Former prosecutor Kathleen Kane.
The first witness in all likelihood is going to be able to articulate clearly and with some passion what happened between he and Jerry Sandusky. That Sandusky did touch him, that it wasn't an accident, it wasn't a mistake, and that it wasn't a sexual nature.
ABC News has learned one of the alleged victims will be among the first to testify. Officials in Auburn, Alabama say two former football players at the school were among three people shot dead at a pool party on Saturday. Three other people were injured. Police are looking for three people in connection with the incident. One has been charged with capital murder. More rain today for the same parts of southwest Alabama and northwest Florida that were deluged on Saturday. Richard Cantu, ABC.
I'm KGUN meteorologist Aaron Brackett here as we transition into your Saturday afternoon. We'll see those temperatures warming up to just shy of 100 degrees here in Tucson. Tonight, a couple clouds out there. Otherwise, mostly clear skies, 69. And we'll lose a couple degrees for your Monday. Highs in the mid to upper 90s will be well into the triple digits by midweek. For 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM, I'm meteorologist Aaron Brackett.
I'm Jim Ronstadt. Over 100 years ago, my grandfather established Ronstadt Hardware in the heart of the Old Pueblo. The Ronstadts were a pioneer family during the growth of a fledgling city, and his store was founded on hard work, craftsmanship, and good service.
This is Jeff Ronstadt, and I am proud to carry on the family tradition with my dad at Ronstadt Insurance. In these trying economic times, you may have many questions about your health care and what's on the horizon. You may be asking questions like, how do I enroll in a Medicare plan and how much will it cost? Are my prescription drugs covered? And what will my out-of-pocket cost be?
If you are confused about Medicare, call us at 721-4848 and we will help you make a confident decision about your Medicare benefits. We are insurance agents licensed by the state of Arizona and we would be honored to assist you.
That's Ronstadt Insurance. Call us at 721-4848. We are pioneers in good service.
Are you planning a special event or celebration? Call Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in southern Arizona.
Hi, this is Bill Viner with the Tucson Festival of Books. It's no wonder why the Tucson Festival of Books relies on Arizona Party Rental. They maintain high standards for all of their products and deliver five-star service.
Hi, this is Andy Brown, Vice President of A-Team Security and Event Services. I've been in the special event business now for 20 years, and nobody does it better than Arizona Party Rental. They have the largest selection of equipment, friendliest staff, and they really care about making your event special.
My name is Rebecca Guthrie, and I would highly recommend Arizona Party Rental to anyone who needs anything that has to do with parties or events. They are very friendly and make you feel like family, and that your event is just as important to them as it is to you.
Hey, thanks. Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Make Arizona Party Rental your celebration destination. Visit our new showroom on Speedway and check us out on Facebook.
It's never been easier to enjoy downtown, even during construction.
Downtown.
And with more than 15,000 parking spaces, it's a breeze to find a spot.
Downtown.
While you're downtown, you can enjoy everything from world-class cuisine to great casual dining. Have a night out on the town with the best nightlife around.
Shop at amazing stores with unique fashionable goods that you won't find anywhere else in town. Take in a show downtown.
Explore dozens of galleries.
Downtown.
And museums support your local
downtown.
Businesses see more at
downtowntucson.org.
That's a better ad. People will love that. People will go, did you hear that dumb ad for downtown? Right, see if you can do something like that, because we'll run that and pay for it.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And we're back. This is Fred Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And with us in studio is Margie Porta Edson from the Catholic Foundation. And we were talking about how we can get people to access all these great services you've been talking about.
Well, not so much access, Fred, because anyone can access the services.
Yeah, but I mean,
how can folks support the foundation?
Support, yeah. You're right.
Exactly. Yeah. Good.
So, because I don't think you have a shortage of people that are accessing your services.
You're exactly right about that. People find us, thankfully, and
sure.
We're glad about that.
Yeah,
So accessing the services isn't difficult, but actually helping to support is a little more challenging. And so the first piece would be to obviously go to our website, and you can find us at thediocesetucson.org. And so that's the website, or CAFFund.org.
And we'll have those linked on to the website.
Excellent. Thank you very much, because that helps tremendously. And
yeah, because
so,
those are kind of tough to spell. CAFFund.org.
Right. Yeah, they are. Yeah. So,
come on, Marjorie.
Yeah, I know.
How about give to TucsonDiocese.com?
That is where we're moving. We are absolutely moving up to a better market. And actually, we are working on our website, so we'll have a better marketing piece.
Good.
But in the meanwhile, and also through their parishes, because if they hear this radio program and they're at their parish knows how to help us and help them help us and link the two together.
Perfect.
So they can do that. So it's very simple. And one of the things that our bishop often says is that anyone can give. And it really, you don't have to be, we have some incredibly generous people who are able to give. Large amounts of money, but the average person should never feel shy or never feel that it isn't good enough.
Whatever they can afford, or a million dollars,
right?
It makes a difference.
It does. It really, truly does. And one of the things that Bishop often says is that we want it's the participation. It's being a part of the body of Christ. Everyone is a part, and not to be shy about it.
Right. So you guys just had a big fundraiser.
We did. We had a lovely gala where we had, as I like to say, 500 or 600 of our closest friends came together at the Marriott Star Pass Resort, and we were able to honor some of my absolute favorite people. The Knights of Columbus.
I thought you were talking about Fred Jeff.
Well, yeah. You're now on the list. You are now on the list.
We're added
to the list. We're always adding to our list.
The Knights of Columbus, huh?
Yes.
Okay, and we were just talking about them a minute ago because our great uncle, cousin Marty Ronstadt is a Knight of Columbus. And you brought in tow with you a couple of knights with you, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
And Fred, would you like to introduce these gentlemen?
Well, I know Ray has been biting to get on the radio since he walked in the door. So we have Ray Orball and Bill McEwen.
He didn't pronounce your last name well, did he, Ray?
No, he kind of mustered it up a little bit, but that's okay.
Well, how do you pronounce your last name, Ray?
Just Obral.
Obral.
Mm-hmm.
What did I say?
Orball. None of us can re-pronounce what you said, Fred.
Okay.
Obral.
All right. So fine. So Ray and Bill are here with us.
Of the Ray and Bill show.
Jeff, we are in serious threat right now. This is like .com 5 that will become, it'll become the Ray and Bill show.
First and foremost, I found out earlier that Bill's from Scotland. Is that right, Bill?
That's true.
I am. Hey, get in front of that mic. Don't be afraid of it. It's not going to hurt you. And you're from Scotland and you're transplant to Tucson by way of the military, right?
That's true. I immigrated here when I was 17, ended up in L.A., and I needed a job, so I joined the Army.
Nice work.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Well, it got you to Tucson, right?
Got me to Tucson.
By
way of Fort Huachuca.
All right, and what do you do now?
I work for IBM. I'm a software engineer.
Very cool. How long have you been doing that?
I've been with IBM for 32 years.
Wow. So you've seen a lot of changes out there.
That I have.
Yeah, I betcha.
It's still there, though.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Oh, yes.
We all appreciate the fact that IBM is still there. And Ray, you're a transplant from the great state of Ohio.
That is correct, sir.
And then what brought you to Tucson?
Actually, I came here because of the Central Arizona Project. They offered me a job. And
you got on your kayak in Ohio and...
Actually,
it was at
the time it was November, so I got on my sleigh and came out here.
They said, hey, come down here where there's sun and it's warm.
And you said, sure.
And yes. Yeah, didn't have to ask me twice.
And earlier, and I know we're kind of off the subject here, but earlier you were telling us about one of the cool things you guys are doing at the CAP, and that's with Is it the Tohono O'odham down at San Javier?
That's correct, yeah. We helped build a farm around the San Javier Mission.
And your farm, and they're farming the same kind of vegetation that they did 1,000 years ago down there.
Well, I don't know if it's 1,000 years ago, but yeah, they're growing traditional crops, they call it, which is our beans and squash and corn, and that's for the members to have, and also their moneymaker is alfalfa. They grow alfalfa and bale it, and they get about 9 cuttings a year, and it's nature farming. It's not organic. It's nature farming. They don't use pesticides, herbicides, and the horse people love it. So
I bet you they do.
Yeah, the horses do too.
Especially now with the cost of alfalfa.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you're doing something that's very different from your average Joe.
Oh yeah, I'm trying to help them get the water to the. This is actually Colorado River water they're using to grow the crops.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. So how long have you been in town?
Well, it's been in Tucson since 87. I moved to Chandler in 1980, and I just followed the Central Arizona Project down to Tucson.
And you having a good time down here?
I love it, yeah.
Good.
Yep.
Good. How about you, Bill? You liking Tucson?
I love Tucson.
All right.
A little chilly today, but I really like it.
It is chilly. You know, I don't get warm until it's over 100 degrees.
Yeah.
Here we go. So you guys come from very, very different backgrounds.
Very true.
And you both belong to the same organization, the Knights of Columbus.
That's correct.
Bill, how'd you get involved with the Knights?
Well, it's a bit of a long story. My father was here in like 1948 in Chicago, and they drafted him into the Knights of Columbus then. And he went back to Scotland, and he always talked about it. So then when I ended up here in Tucson and they started a council at my parish, St. Elizabeth Van Seton, I couldn't help but join.
Good for you. And Ray, how about you?
Well, I was working in Bingo Kitchen, and the guys
Kitchen?
Yeah, for St. Louis Van Seton, and the gentleman there kept berating me until I joined.
would that happen to be a bit, Bill?
That's funny.
Yeah, it was great, but I'm very, very happy that I joined.
So, can you guys tell our listeners what the Knights of Columbus do? You want to take that one, Bill?
Well, the Knights of Columbus is
sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I saw Ray point at you, so I know he didn't want to say it.
It's a Catholic men's fraternal organization. We're about 1.8 million men strong worldwide.
Wow. Worldwide. Okay, so it's not just a United States organization.
No, Philippines, Cuba, Poland, Mexico, Canada.
So pretty much wherever there's Catholic people, there's the Knights of Columbus.
Pretty much. We're spreading wherever we can. We want to grow. And we're trying to grow here in Tucson. In Arizona, we have something like 14,300 members.
That's quite a bit.
It's quite a bit. We're trying to grow. We have a mission to provide Catholic men an opportunity to grow in their faith, to grow in their family, to help their community. So with that, we want to spread it, and we want everyone who's Catholic to be part of it.
That's great. And Ray, what kind of services do you guys provide to the community?
Well, in order for you to be a Knight of Columbus, you've got to be Catholic. You have to be 18 years of age. And you have to be, what's the word I'm thinking of? It's be a practical Catholic, as understood by the Holy See. That is what that means is that you have to abide by the Ten Commandments and the seven precepts of the Church, Catholic Church, and then you're a practical Catholic and you can become a Knight of Columbus.
Okay, so that's kind of like a practicing Catholic.
Practicing Catholic, yes, of the different the seven precepts of the Church.
Can you name them all right now?
Yeah,
fire away.
Oh, you want them right now?
Yeah. You got them. Because Bill's kind of over there chuckling.
Well, I'm cheating because I have it written down, but I won't look at it.
Okay.
All right. You have to attend
that's
Mass.
That's one of them, right? Not lying.
Not lying.
Right. So don't lie.
That's a commandment.
Okay,
yeah.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, sir.
You have to attend Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation. You have to fast and abstain on days appointed. You have to go to confession at least once a year. You have to take communion at least once a year, usually during Easter time. You have to contribute to the support of the Church. You have to evangelize your faith, and you have to support the Church with regards to their laws concerning marriage. So if you follow all seven of those, I think that was seven,
Was that seven, Fred? Were you counting?
No, I wasn't. I was just...
Margie, were you counting?
No, I was just cheating.
Of course it was seven. Of course it was seven.
Good. But, that's awesome.
Yeah, and...
So the long and the short of it is you guys are honest, upstanding members of our community who support your parishes, support your faith, and you're out there recruiting new members.
Yes, I am.
And as a Knight of Columbus, what do you guys bring to the community? So the Fred and Jeff Show is this show about all the great people that do great things in Tucson, and you guys are amongst them. So don't be humble. Tell us about all the great stuff you guys are doing
out
there.
And practically speaking, I mean, what we know about the Knights of Columbus is they wear really like nautical hats and have cool swords.
And it's the cool sword that I like.
Yeah, the sword is the best.
Yeah, our grandpa had a cool sword. Fred used to play with it all the time.
Well, yeah, it's funny.
This is funny, too, by the way.
They lent us a sword. The Knights of Columbus lent us a sword because we're doing a musical at South Point.
Yep.
And it got stolen out of one of our cars.
Out of Fred's car. Let's be honest here, Fred.
So we were more, we had a really cool sword to play knights and...
Right.
But that's what we essentially know about the Knights of Columbus.
Sure.
And they have a really cool hall and serve cool drinks.
Well, so I'm sure you've gone to the different stores and received Tootsie Rolls.
Tootsie Rolls?
Oh, that's right. We
hand out Tootsie Rolls.
And why do you hand out Tootsie Rolls?
Well, it's a persons with intellectual disabilities drive. The money that we bring in, that goes to the Special Olympics.
Okay.
And other, we did ARC. I believe, and we did a baseball. What is a Challenger Little League?
Oh, Challenger Little League is phenomenal.
Right.
So you guys are supporting disadvantaged kids in Southern Arizona as well.
That's correct. That's correct. Yes.
That's awesome.
We do a lot with the Special Olympics.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So, and I apologize to do this to you, but we have to take our last break. We'll be right back in about a minute and a half. So, folks, stick around to the Fred and Jeff Show.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Shelby, how does Five Star give back to its customers?
Existing monthly pest control customers who refer a friend to us receive a discount on their next service.
How about your current termite treatment customers?
When a customer's home is treated for termites, they refer a friend who has their home treated, they will receive an additional year of service on their termite contract.
Wow, that could add up to over $1,000 in savings.
Yes, it can. Log on to our website for details on our customer rewards program.
Five Star, the natural choice. 886-0045, 5starTermite.com.
When Jeff and I are looking for a good cigar, we head over to Anthony Cigar Emporium.
That's right, Fred. They have a great selection, knowledgeable staff, a comfortable environment. It's the perfect place to buy a cigar for any time.
Three convenient locations, one at Oracle and McGee, one at Crossroads Festival at Swan and Grant, and their new location at Williams Center at Craycroft and Broadway.
Come on over to Anthony Cigar Emporium, get your cigar, and you might even run into Fred and I, and you can tell us why you love Tucson.
Women Investing, an award-winning comprehensive financial services firm, offers customized programs designed to help grow and conserve your wealth. We encourage you to explore our website at powerwomeninvesting.com and learn more about the services we provide. If you would like to make an appointment, call us at 571-9053. That's 571-9053.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And we're back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're talking about the Knights of Columbus.
That's right. A fraternal order of Catholic men that was founded in 1882.
What was that?
It was a fraternal order of men, Catholic men, founded in the year of 1882 by Father McGivney.
That is correct.
Back in New Haven, Connecticut.
Well, and let's reintroduce, we have in the studio with us Ray and Bill, who are Knights of
And you guys are
Columbus.
From, which parish are you all from?
We're both from St. Elizabeth Anseton.
And what council?
The Roy Champeau Council, number 8077.
Roy Champeau.
Mm-hmm. And also, we're also members of the Fourth Degree and the Father Henry Miller Assembly, 2308.
So there's a lot of assemblies and councils and things like that that most of us have no idea what's going on.
That's true.
Are you guys, Fred, you had asked an interesting question during the commercial break about the Masons and...
Yeah, it was maybe a bit of mythology, but I was always led to believe that the Knights of Columbus were sort of the Catholic version of the Masons, the Protestant Masons.
We're not anywhere near being the Masons or Knights Templar or whatever. We're so not a we're not a secret organization.
No handshakes and
no, we don't have any secret handshakes. No, no, no.
So you guys are just about fraternity and doing good works in the community.
That's correct. Yeah, community and around the world.
And around the world. That's right.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we were talking about also during the break was not just Special Olympics and a Challenger Little League. But you guys also do lots of stuff for the Global Wheelchair Mission, Habitat for Humanity, Food for Families, and Coats for Kids.
That's correct, out of our Supreme office, yes.
That's amazing. That's a lot of stuff you guys are doing.
And we're also, you know, we had the hurricane, I believe it was, in Haiti. We're doing a lot of work with the children there.
The Haitian kids?
Doing a lot of the prosthetics and helping them out, getting them back on, you know, to...
You can say it. You're trying to get them back on their feet.
Yeah, I was trying to say that. I did say that. Yeah.
But yeah, but that's okay. But, I mean, because you are.
Yeah, exactly.
You are, and exactly. No pun intended. I mean,
yes,
that's
figuratively
a fabulous thing
and literally.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's a fabulous mm-hmm. thing you guys are doing. And how many guys, how many nights are there in Southern Arizona? You said, was it 14,000?
In Arizona.
Oh, so in the whole state.
In the whole state.
Mm-hmm. That's still a lot of guys. But
well,
there are what? How many Catholics are in Arizona?
Well, yeah, what I was just going to say, that's only 2% of the men who are qualified to become Knights.
Why do you guys think that more men aren't joining the Knights Columbus?
It's hard to say. A lot of the men are busy, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of them have families. So we have to also talk to them about, we have things we can do with families in addition to being a Knights. We, you know, have family outings. In fact, we're going to go up to Mount Lemmon, our council is, for a weekend. We have family nights where everybody comes in and does a potluck. We try to bring in the families a lot. They help a lot. And I've got to put in a thank you to all our wives. Our wives are our background, and they help out a lot.
I bet you they do.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you without them, we'd be lost, wouldn't we?
That's very true.
So yeah. If you were to approach either my brother or...
And I will approach you.
Approach
or,
Fred, he's more
or Ryan. Ryan's standing right next
Yay,
to me.
Yay, Ryan.
He's got the application form in hand.
I have the Form 100 right in my hand here.
So how would you sell us on becoming a Knight of Columbus?
Well, would you like to have fun?
I always love fun.
There you go. Would you like to do meaningful work? Would you like to support vocations? That's another charity... We help the priests. We help the seminarians that Margie was talking about. A lot of our councils will kind of adopt a priest, a seminarian, and will donate so much money per month for them to have for their toiletries, things like that.
For their education?
Well, the education is taken care of by the diocese, but we're there to...
But they need toilet paper and toothpaste. And
well, yeah, if they want to go somewhere, they want to come home, you know, we supply them with some money, and we do a stipend, like at a Christmas time for them, and then for a lot of the seminarians, and we also do it for sisters, too, novitiates.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. And one that Margie talked about, that we ordained two priests just recently, the diocese is going to ordain 37 deacons coming up here soon. So there's deacons and priests.
So you guys are strong. So the diocese is strong.
Very much so.
And it wouldn't be as strong without the Knights of Columbus.
Well, I'd like to think that way. Yeah, we're there to help out. We're there to help out. And you'd mentioned about the different degrees you're talking about. There's the first degree, and there's four
levels.
Our four, I'm lost for the word. Anyway, the four of them are charity, unity, fraternity, and patriotism.
So the four tenets?
Four tenets. That's very good, yeah. The fourth degree is patriotism. And that's where you have the nautical hats, or we call chapeaux, and the swords, and the tuxedos and the capes. Those are the men who are the right arm of the Knights of Columbus.
So the
visible.
Knights of Columbus that live in the Philippines, or the Knights of Columbus that live in Guam,
mm-hmm.
or Cuba,
mm-hmm.
or Poland, or anywhere mm-hmm. else in the world, mm-hmm. their patriotism isn't towards the United States, it's toward their own home country.
That is correct. There's a ceremony that is done for all the different degrees, and it's patterned for that particular country.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So, but the Knights were founded in the United States.
In 1882.
Mm-hmm. And part of that tenet of patriotism mm-hmm. wasn't the United States. It was where your homeland is. So well, that's a great thing.
Yeah, I'd like to think that other countries saw the benefits of being a Knight of Columbus, having a Knight of Columbus Council. And what's our biggest person who really enjoys having us are the priests.
Sure.
The priests are the ones that usually say, well, I need to have a council in my parish. They need to have them help out, and that's what we're there for. We'll start out a council.
So we were at fun, doing something meaningful, supporting...
Patriotic.
Supporting the seminarians.
Vocations, yeah.
The vocations. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What else is on the hard sell list?
Well,
we support our youth.
Mm-hmm.
We have the...
Well, yeah, we do the free throw, basketball free throw every year. We have
what is that?
A contest. Well, it's a contest for boys and girls. Doesn't have to be you don't have to be a Knight of Columbus family. Just the council has its own championship. I believe it's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 year olds, boys and girls, and then the district has a district playoff, and then it goes to state. And then the state, last time I think we played, and they shot off of the arena where the Suns play.
Great.
And you get a trophy, and so that's for the free throw. And then there's also...
Well, we support other programs like Big Sisters, Big Brothers. Mm-hmm. We support, we have a soccer shootout, and we also have the Knight Circle. So the Knight Circle is for younger men between 8 or... between 10 and 18, kind of like squires, if you would call it that.
So the squires.
allow them to grow in a world of responsibility, grow in a world where they can see older responsible adults and can model on them.
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. But I think that's something that's oftentimes lost is even though Fred and I might go out and, do something to raise money for the food bank, we're not necessarily taking our kids in tow so they can watch us do that.
Right.
It's a very important thing that we often forget.
That's right. That's right.
Good for you guys. How long have you been a Knight, Ray?
Including today, since 2000.
And Bill, how long have you been a Knight?
About 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah.
Well, good for you guys.
And I assume you're both fourth degree?
That's correct. Yeah. Yes, we are.
Very nice.
Yeah.
All right.
We've both been Grand Knights of our councils, and we've both been navigators. And Bill right now is membership chairman for the state of Arizona. And I've been a district deputy. So
that's wonderful. Well, congratulations, guys. Mm-hmm. Catholic gentlemen out there want to get a better idea mm-hmm. of what is, what's involved and want to sign up, mm-hmm. where should they go? Is there a place online they can go?
www.kofc.org.
K-O-F-C. Not Kentucky Fried Chicken, but
not
Knights
Kentucky
of
Fried
Columbus.
K-O-F-C.org.
Org.
That's correct.
Very cool.
Perfect. Now, we do have to give the roses away.
That's right.
So the first person who emails
Wait a second, Fred. Well, I hate to interject. But remember, at the top of the show, we said very important date. Very important date to Fred and I and to the Knights of Columbus. And that was the year that our great-great-grandfather crossed the border into Tucson, started the Ronstedts here, and the Knights started, right? Didn't I say it was 1882?
I think you didn't say it then.
Oh, but oops. So email Fred at fred@fredjeff.com and get yourself a dozen roses. And folks.
From Mayfield Florist.
From Mayfield Florist. Thanks for coming on the show today. You guys make Tucson a great place to live. You take care of a lot of people, and we really, really appreciate that. So thanks again for being here. And folks, we'll see you next week.